Dear brothers and sisters, for every Christmas and New Year season, many people, they enjoy themselves, but it's not necessarily something joyful to face the New Year for the unbelievers. It's because no matter how much they take the pleasures of the world, they can't find true satisfaction. Especially when they are young, they might not feel it very much, but as they experience the middle age and the older they get, they think, they feel that they are going toward death. So each day of their lives is not living, but each day they are not living their lives, but in fact they are dying every day. You know, they see the wrinkles on their faces. Some people, they get saddened seeing the wrinkles and gray hair on their head. But we believers, we don't feel that way. Every day of our lives is a time of becoming a true child of God. And as the days go by, the day to meet the Lord draws near. So they are not living every day, but they are dying every day. But we are different. We have been born again in the Lord. As we come before God in Christmas service, New Year service, then we receive the grace from above that can't be compared with the joy of the world. The unbelievers, they have a lot of meetings, so they are busy in the new year. But of course, we are also busy coming to different kinds of worship services and worshiping God. So the outer being is getting old, but our inner being is renewed every day. So we are not afraid of death as we grow older, but we have greater hope to meet the Lord. But of course, there are small and big difficulties in lives. But no matter what hardships we face, we believe. We know that God causes all things to work for good. So we are always full of joy and thanksgiving. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace." God taught the priests that was how they were supposed to bless the people. So as said above, I hope the Lord God Almighty will give you blessing upon blessing and keep you with His blazing eyes. And I pray in the name of the Lord that the grace and peace of the Lord will be upon you throughout this year. So I'm going to deliver the message on the third prayer title of the new year, the Glorious Sanctuary. Since the opening of this church in July 1982, after the opening, in one day in September, God showed one vision to several 17 members of the church. And God showed them different parts of the sanctuary. Some saw the roof, or others 96 pillars of marble. Some saw the inside, some others saw the back door. So by consolidating all the testimonies of those who saw the vision, we created this bird eye view. And we've put them in the weekly bulletin every week. And in May 1985, senior pastor said the following. There was a believer who was suffering from a disease of another church, and he heard about Manmin Church, and she came to Manmin Church, and she saw the weekly bulletin, and she explained about what she had seen in a vision. She said when she was praying a lot, she saw visions quite a few times, and God showed her a very big church. And she was wondering, where is this church and why is God showing it to me? And it was the same as what was on the weekly bulletin. And with just a picture on the weekly bulletin, people can't feel how big it is. But I saw the interior and the size was enormous. At that time, we were right after the church, right after the opening. It was just such a small building with some scores of members. And at that time, we couldn't even imagine building such a big sanctuary. We found it hard to pay the rent every month for the church. And how could we pray to build such a big sanctuary? And it was the leadership of the senior pastor. And I still remember that I was praying. We had the pillars in the sanctuary, and we posted the bird eye view of the grand sanctuary. And we were praying that we wanted to build it right away. Not we weren't thinking how many years after, maybe 2,000 years after, maybe 10 years, 20 years later. No, we were praying that we were going to build it right away. That's how we believed it. But of course, the reality, it was totally different. It was just absolutely impossible if we considered our reality. And in 1985, just as I explained, this believer from another church explained about the vision she had seen, that this was it. And she didn't know about our prayer point, prayer title to build a grand sanctuary. And when we heard the testimony, we were just so happy that we were assured once again that God was going to do it actually. But it wasn't just a single incident. We've heard many testimonies, similar testimonies. Some others, they saw face of a pastor in a dream, and they were suffering from a disease, and this pastor stretched out his hand, and he was comforted, or they were comforted, or they were healed. And some of the people, they saw and later they came to realize that it was the senior pastor after they came to our church, or they saw the grand sanctuary in their dreams, or they saw this picture painting on our altar of the second coming of the Lord. And then after they came to our church, they saw that, they realized that that is exactly the same painting they saw in their dream. And they realized that it's the senior pastor that they realized that they saw him in their vision or in their dreams. Or after they saw the bird-eye view of the Grand Sanctuary. They realized that they had seen it in there. It's exactly the same painting as what they had seen in their dream or vision. So when they see these things, they are full of the Spirit. So they realize that this is a church, this is a pastor who could lead me, who could lead them. This is the church where I should be. And that's what that was their profession. So why would God let them see those things in their dreams and visions? Of course, sometimes it was to let them become Manmin's members or to testify from outside Manmin members that God works in the, God is the same, one same God, and the Holy Spirit is the one Holy Spirit, and that it is this, the plan of God. We didn't seek to build this grand sanctuary from our side. It is God's plan, and He commanded us. It is the plan of God. If we want to build our own sanctuary, we can just plan it on our own, and we can build something bigger than this sanctuary. We could have done it a long time ago, but building the grand sanctuary is not of this small scale. It is a sanctuary to reveal the glory of God who has won the victory in the human cultivation. So it is the plan given to us by God Himself. It wasn't our hope. To reveal God's love and glory, He works through the man of God. He doesn't just show it. He can't just write it in the sky with the fire. He can. He has the power. But He doesn't do so. That's not how the human cultivation is conducted. Sometimes through disasters or sometimes God lets the people come to awakening when they are sinning. It's because without those things, they would never understand. They just think it's a natural disaster. And without the man of God letting them understand, explaining to them, men are so foolish that they would never be able to understand why they are facing such disasters. So God works through the man of God. He reveals His glory through the man of God. God expresses His will through the man of God. And this grand sanctuary has a similar meaning. Of course, the building itself is such a beautiful building. And seeing this building, many people will understand that God is really alive. Heavenly kingdom is such a beautiful place. What kind of building in this world would give people true peace and joy? It is only for their physical satisfaction, pleasure, and things like that. But after that comes emptiness. But the sanctuary of God, you find true peace, you find divine healing, and you see the spiritual realm, and listening to the word of God there, in there you are full of the hope of the heavenly kingdom. So it is a building to reveal the glory of God. And He wants to fulfill His providence through us, Manmin, and it is our honor. We are so honored. So when we actually carry out His plan with our faith and prayers, He will give us so much blessing both on this earth and in heaven. If somebody gives us our desire, the desire of our heart, how thankful will we be? So it's the same with God. When we fulfill His plan, He'll be thankful to us. He will give us blessings. God gave us this prayer title right from the beginning of the church because it is something so big. We have to pray. We have to store up the prayers for such a long time because it's such a big plan. So it's not that we've been praying and it's not accomplished yet, but we can more vigorously, more fervently pray with faith. And in the process and method, the process and method can be different from man's thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But whatever the process or the ways it might be, the one thing that never changes is that the providence of God will certainly be fulfilled. Isaiah 55 verses 10 to 11 says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." So God's word will be certainly fulfilled. But no, when God gives us promises, they are not accomplished automatically. Ezekiel 36:37 says, "Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock." So God says, "I will do this for you, I will do that for you." When God gives us the promises, God says, "This also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them." We have to keep on asking. So what do we have to pray to build this sanctuary? I'll give you three aspects. First, we have to reveal the glory of God by practicing the truth. Building the grand sanctuary means that there are many true children who resemble God. Reversely speaking, only when there is enough number of true children of God can we build the grand sanctuary. In case of Solomon's temple, with the magnificent and grandeur of the building itself, they gave glory to God. They built it with silver and gold and so many good materials, and God received glory. So even the kings of other countries, people of the other countries, seeing that building, they felt the dignity of God, and they could feel that God was dwelling in it. Many people actually gave glory to God just by seeing the exterior of the building. But of course, God is not glorified through the building itself, but through the king and the people and their lives who were worshiping in the temple. In case of the Gentiles, they came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and they came to see the exterior of the building, of the temple. And so they were amazed and they gave glory to God too. But God doesn't accept the glory only through the exterior of the building, through the building itself. God actually receives glory through the lives of the people who worship in it. God accepts the heart of those who worship in it. So because the Gentiles didn't have that, God couldn't accept their heart. But they, so it is the heart of the people that God accepts, the faith of the people. When the sons of Israel violated the word of God and didn't departed themselves from God, God couldn't be with them. God's glory had to leave the temple. So eventually, the temple was destroyed by the hands of the Gentiles. And God allowing the temple to be destroyed by the hands of the Gentiles. Why did it happen? Because God wanted the heart of the people. And the sons of Israel, their heart was not for God. They worshipped idols. They didn't live by the law of God. So that is why God had to let the temple be destroyed. So only when the members in the sanctuary sanctify their heart, have pure heart and worship God with a pure heart, holy heart, God can accept their worship. The building itself cannot really give glory to God. So we can see this from the history of Israel. But even though the building was destroyed, God received glory through the man of God. We can see this in the book of Daniel. You know very well about the extraordinary and miraculous things that happened to Daniel and his three friends. There was once a finger appeared on the wall of the palace and wrote on the wall. And only Daniel could read and interpret it. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but he was not harmed at all. He came back out alive, and his three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace, and not a single hair on their head was singed. They came back all alive. But you have to remember that these things didn't happen in Israel. They happened in Babylon and Persia. And the kings that Daniel served, they were kings that served idols, Gentile kings. Daniel was taken as captive toward the destruction of Judah, southern kingdom of Judah, in his teens. And he and his three friends, they kept the law with all their best. And they accepted their heart. And God gave them great wisdom. And God gave Daniel the wisdom even to be able to interpret all visions and dreams. And after 3 years, they had a chance. The Babylonian king had a dream and nobody could interpret it. And Daniel interpreted it exactly. And he said, "It is God who interpreted it." The king was so surprised because he just told the people to interpret his dream without telling them what his dream was. And how can they know the dream that you had if you don't tell them? But Daniel knew what his dream was, and he even gave him the interpretation. So the king had this dream by himself, and he didn't tell anybody. But Daniel knew what his dream was and interpreted it. So the king acknowledged God. Daniel 2:47 says, "The king answered Daniel and said, 'Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries.'" Actually, at that time, the king of Babylon didn't regard the Lord God of Israel so highly. Because according to the concept of that time, the wars among the nations or wars among the gods. So they thought the Babylonian God was stronger than the Lord God of Israel. So that is why they won. And the Jews were defeated and they were conquered. They thought it is the men that are fighting, but they were protected and by their gods. So, and this Babylon conquered not just southern kingdom of Judah, but they also conquered Philistine, Ammon, Moab, Aram, and Edom, and all other, even Egypt. And they won the victory, and they took spoils of war. And also they brought the idols, so many kinds of idols, and put them in the shrine or the temple of their gods to symbolize that their god conquered all these gods. So of course, Babylonian king, he looked down on Judah and the Lord God Almighty, because they conquered Judah. But of course, our God is the Almighty God who can't be compared to any other God or anybody else. But he was still despised by these human beings. But he endured and he was patient. So God didn't just sulk, just like human beings. And it was also God's will, and it was His plan for Israel and the sons of Israel, the Jews, that they had to lose and they had to be conquered so that they would return to God. That was a part of His plan. And a part of that plan is that He would be patient with Gentile people mocking God and despising Judah. He would just let them be. He would just be patient. It was the same with Jesus. He came to this earth forsaking all the heavenly glory. He came into this world in the lowly human body, and he had to die on the cross. And people were mocking him, despising him. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Savior, the Messiah, come down and save yourself and us. And he didn't stay up on the cross because he was unable. He had more than enough power to come down anytime, but to fulfill God's providence, he was patiently waiting. He could avoid his death, physical death, but he just obeyed. So we have to realize, understand the will of God. Sometimes we might face difficulties and hardships or even shame. But through those difficulties and shame, sometimes God is patient, God waits. So we have to also wait. Sometimes we are facing a hard time. We are having a hard time. Maybe we prayed that God will solve this problem as soon as possible, but it is our hope. But that might be not exactly according to God's plan. So even when the Gentile people, they were mocking God, God didn't appear to them and punish them or anything like that. He just waited and he was patient. And so we have to be patient as well. So we can be patient even in difficulties. So the Babylonian king, he disregarded the Lord God of Israel. But when Daniel interpreted his dream, the king had began to think about God in a different way. He said, "Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries." And about a dozen years later, God worked through Daniel's friends because they disobeyed the king's order to bow down before an idol. They were thrown into the fiery furnace that was seven times hotter than usual. So, and what was the result? God kept them, protected them, and not a single hair on their head was singed. And seeing this great work, he issued a command, a king's command, in all throughout his kingdom. Daniel 3:28-30 says, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb, to, limb from limb, and their houses reduced to rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." So God openly said, violating the king's command. So we have to obey the word of God. That doesn't mean you should break the law of the country. And of course, you have to give out the aroma of Christ in the world, and you have to earn the praises of the people. But just because it is hard to keep the law of God to live in the world and compromise with the world, this way you can't give glory to God. We ourselves, each of us, has to become the temple of God. But anyway, Daniel and Daniel's three friends, they only kept the word of God, even if it meant violating the king's command. They kept the law of God, and they gave glory to God. So, verse 29, "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their house is reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. So through this event, God was glorified.
So
God was glorified through this event. Maybe you don't want any test in your life. You don't want any trial in your life. But that is man's thought. Through trials, God receives glory. Without test, Daniel and his three friends, through the test, they gave glory to God, and also they received glory from the, they prospered. They received the blessings. So, as long as you are keeping the word of God, you know, there is nothing to complain about. Saying, "Oh, why would he hate me? Why would they hate me? Or why am I this in this situation? Why am I having a hard time?" But you can believe, you know, you can believe that this is a blessing. This is a time. through which God will receive greater glory and through which God will give you greater blessings. The greater the test, the greater the glory and blessing will be, as Reverend Tashik Gill said, Pastor Tashik Gill said. Without tests and trials, will you accomplish the kingdom of God in a small scale, or will you pass the tests and trials and give glory to God greatly and accomplish the kingdom of God greatly? Of course, it is better. God wants to receive glory greatly. And if we pass the trials and tests, well, great will be our reward in heaven for each of us and for the church as a whole as well. So in 2019, let us march forward with faith, with joy, and with thanksgiving. Let us not be discouraged, or let us not be in sorrow. And after this, the furnace incident, the three friends were lifted high. They prospered in the province of Babylon. And also, the people of southern kingdom of Judah, former southern kingdom of Judah, they were blessed too. There were many Jews who were taken captive in Babylon. And they didn't have any hope. They had to wonder if God was really alive, if God was going to help them. And they had to wonder what would happen to the covenant given to Abraham. They didn't have the temple any longer. And how would they meet God? How would they worship God again? They must have been in discouragement, in despair. And suddenly, this arrogant and powerful king of Babylon issued a decree for everyone in his kingdom, all throughout his kingdom, to praise God and give glory to God. How amazing is this? And they could have been very comforted. And they began to think what they could do now. And probably they could have the hope that they could also recover the grace of God if they just lived by the law of God. They kept the law of God. So there were many other events through Daniel. Sometimes he prophesied to the king. He interpreted the letters that the king couldn't interpret. He came back alive from the lion's den. And the people, even the Gentiles, they had to acknowledge God and praise God. So why would I explain about Daniel and his three friends while I'm talking about the grand sanctuary? I'm trying to explain the true meaning of the sanctuary that we have to build. Even though he was just a captive, a little boy, a young man, through one person, God could receive glory. Even before the Holy Spirit came to us, even in the times of Old Testament, those who lived in the Word of God, those who walked in the light, they could give glory to God more, much more than the temple in Jerusalem. So that was through the faith of Daniel and his three friends. And it is even more so during the era of the Holy Spirit. We might look, we are so weak and we can't really do anything. But as long as we keep the truth, keep the word of God, it is God who will be working. We were, right after the beginning of the church, we were praying to build a grand sanctuary that will be revealed before the whole world. Because we had this faith. God doesn't look at the weak reality, small reality. He is looking forward into the future, looking toward into the future with faith. And so we have to do the same. And also not just through signs and wonders, but God will be glorified through your life, your faithful and honest life. People will say, oh, these Christians are different. Manmin members are different. Then we will, each of us will become the sanctuary that will give glory to God. So through their community services and the there are about 4,000 people who are following her on a social network service, and she is trying to let the people know about the senior pastor and the church. But she's never persecuted because she is always faithful and she's good in her workplace. So she doesn't face any hardships. And that's what I believe most of you do in your workplace, in your school, in your families. You're not persecuted because you give out the aroma of Christ and you give glory to God. And also there was this testimony of a deaconess. Who is a nurse's aide taking care of the sick people. And those who are sick in the hospital or those who are hospitalized, those who are taking care of these sick people, they might be infected anytime. Especially when it's a contagious disease. So if they get infected, the company that hired this nurse's aide, they have to take care of them. They have to take the responsibility, the companies. But she was protected completely through faith. She was recognized even more in her company. Her boss sometimes gave her a hard time, but later, finally, her boss came to trust her completely. And through the hardship, she depended on God with faith, and God worked, caused all things to work for good, and everything turned into blessings. That's because you are changed by the truth. And when you give glory to God, God will receive glory through us. And when each of us gathers in this way, that is the sanctuary to give glory to God. So each of us has to be changed by the truth so that we'll also be able to build the sanctuary, visible sanctuary. Dear brothers and sisters, the second thing that we have to pray for, that all the members will be united as one. The church, it also, first we think of the building, but of course there is an invisible church, as in the Apostles' Creed, the communion of the saints. So this communion, this community of the saints is the invisible church. We break bread to share the word of God, and if there is any difficult thing, we pray for each other, we fast for each other, we help each other. The reason why we have to come to the church is to listen to the word of God and worship God and pray. And as much as we have to do these things, we have to have the fellowship among the believers. Senior pastor once said, for the faith to increase more quickly, you also need to work. You have to take up some church duties. Through those voluntary services, your growth of faith can be accelerated. So through your faithful work, voluntary services in the church, that is also a part of the communion of the saints. And for this to work, for this communion to work, it is crucial that they be united as one. Ephesians 2:22 says, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Each of the members is a sanctuary but for the sanctuary to be perfect church. All those, each and every member must be united as one. To be united as one does not mean you have to try to make others fit you. You have to try to fit yourself to others. You have to sacrifice yourself and humble yourself. If you think your way is better, your ideas are better, and why don't they follow me, but follow my way, then it means you're breaking peace. Everybody has a different idea, different appearance, different taste. Everybody's different. So that is why we have to serve each other. We have to follow others' ideas unless they are untruth. Or you shouldn't say, oh, you want to just stop working because other people, they don't listen to you. You are not working for people. You're working for God and His kingdom, to expand His kingdom. So those co-workers in the church, those who are working in the church with you, if they just insist on their own ideas and they don't listen to you, so if you just, let them do whatever they want, I will not have anything to do with it, then without church duty, what will God say? You just neglected your duty. Then if God asks you that way, you don't have an excuse. And let us remember, doing God's duties is a very important thing for spiritual growth. So you shouldn't put the blame on others that you can't really work. You don't want to have anything to do with it. You shouldn't say these things. And it's God's word that we have to pursue peace and holiness with everyone, without any complaining, grumbling. Serve even the little ones and humble yourself. You've heard these things so many times. When the parents are away, so maybe they are teen children, they mature faster. You know, when like 30, 40 years ago in Korea, when the parents, they both of them had to work, the siblings, they had to take care of each other, and they loved it. They came to love each other, and they have a more stronger bond. But if you are wealthy enough and you have separate rooms, and they just do their own work, and after they grow up, they don't have this deep bond. They are more individualistic. So that's what the modern world has turned into. After, you know, going through a hard time together, shedding tears together, comforting each other, then you have a stronger bond. And probably we are having this kind of period. In the new year, 2019, I hope you will all be united as one. As bodies of the Lord, body parts of the Lord, let us encourage each other and give joy and happiness to each other. But God the Father loves us, manmin, so much. And we kept the church, we kept our positions, we try to keep the flock of manmin in 2018. And in 2019, God gave us so much more joy and happiness. In the Friday Olai service, the second part, I heard many believers, they were happy and they were filled with the Spirit, and many pastors, they just like, we wanted to praise God, you know, like little children, like David danced before God. We wanted to dance before God and give joy to Him. And we wanted to fill up. We didn't really plan anything. But the pastors, they were all united together and praising God together. So we were all, I heard the church members, they were so happy. I thought, the pastors, they didn't really do anything. Of course, the elders joined in later. But we didn't really do anything. But it is, I believe, it is God's grace. I heard that the members were, they were so happy and full of the Spirit. And we really, the pastors, we pastor didn't really do anything, but I heard many times that it is like heaven itself, and it is the pouring down of God's grace. So I was very thankful. The last Sunday of 2018 was a bit saddening, sorrowful, but I thought to myself, God was comforting us in this way. In the first Friday Ola service of the new year, did you feel you're full of grace and happiness? There was more than the praise leader. There was more than what pastors did. It is a grace given to you because God loves you so much. So passing through these difficult times, God wanted to comfort us through these events from time to time. And I had such events quite a few times from time to time. And this Friday Olay service was one of them. And a sanctuary, a temple, is such a place. There shouldn't be any arguments, quarreling, you know. There must not be any quarreling, argument. My idea is right, your idea is wrong, anything of that kind. There should be only praising God. We have to feel the heavenly kingdom itself. That's how our senior pastor taught us. In the 36 years of history, that's how we cherished our temple, the sanctuary, the church. There wasn't any quarrel or argument. We were happy. We were full of testimonies and witnesses to God's, the living God. Even though we came with a broken heart, we were comforted by God when we were praising God and praying to Him. We cherished the church so much, and we always felt that God was with us. And this is how we feel right now too. And in 2019, in the new year, God is showing us that I love you. So let us remember His grace deep in our heart. And God is telling us that He loves us so much. And let us not wonder, oh, maybe God doesn't love us. Maybe God doesn't love me. God is giving us this fullness of the Spirit. So even in difficult times, let us make up our mind once again to overcome and win the victory through goodness. And to build the grand, glorious sanctuary, thirdly, we have to pray for the building of the physical building of the grand sanctuary. In the New Testament times, each of the members is God's sanctuary where the Holy Spirit dwells. But that doesn't mean we don't need the physical building. We have to have the place where the members can gather to break the bread of God's word and pray continually. And especially the grand sanctuary is a symbol that reveals, is a building that reveals God's glory. The enemy devil wants to say, proclaim that God's human cultivation failed because devil wants to say, there are so many people who are not saved. There's no church that have true faith. God lost. They want to say, God lost. We won. We won in the battle against God. But God's plan is different, and He will certainly win the victory. How? Through us, Manmin, through the people who love God first, who are sanctified, who are pure in heart, who prepare themselves to receive the Lord who is coming back again. Through these people, He will build the grand sanctuary, and He will reveal the fact that He has won in the human cultivation through the grand sanctuary. And the worship service that is live broadcast from this grand sanctuary will reach so many people around the world. And when we were praising God so full of the Spirit in the Friday Olay service. Even the branch church members, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the whole world will give glory to God. Lift Him up. And God will show that He has won. Today's reading passage, as in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3, there will be the holiness gospel, and that is preached in this sanctuary, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, will shine the light of God's glory to the whole world. And the kings of the nations will come toward this church to this light. And for this, we've been praying for the last 36 years. And the process of actually building it, the processes might be different from our imagination. But because we pray, we can just entrust, we can just commit everything to God. And because this grand sanctuary is so big, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But we believe, we know that it's going to be accomplished. And we are not going to build it with our own money, so we have to pray. And we are going through this kind of a period in order to build this grand sanctuary. So let us just pray with faith. And also about the sanctuary before we build the grand sanctuary, we can just pray with faith. Each of the steps is in the guidance of God. We have been creating all these things, all these sanctuaries, out of nothing. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any place. We didn't have any real estate. We didn't have any land. But that's how we're going to build the grand sanctuary as well. So it'll be completed by God Himself. Jeremiah 33, verses 2 to 3 says, "Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." The Almighty God will fulfill His great and secretive providence. And let us pray for His providence to be fulfilled. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters, facing this new year 2019, I believe you have one common desire. It is to see the senior pastor soon. And if you, when you actually see him again, when, what will he say? Probably he'll say, "I'm sorry that I caused you so much worries and concerns." He'll try to probably take the responsibility for all these past moments. And probably say, "It's all on me. I am responsible. I am the head." And if there were those who were persecuted, if there is any lost flock, then he will say it is his responsibility too. If there were any believers who wanted to take a rest or who wanted to take a break from circumcision of heart, if there was any discord among the brothers in faith, he would say, "I'm sorry, it's his fault." But, of course, we know that all these things are allowed by God's providence. But when he says those things, we'll say, "Oh." And after that, he will, "What do you think he will say to us?" Probably he will say, "Dear beloved pastors and members, thank you for keeping the church. Thank you for keeping your positions, the worship services, and the prayers. Thank you for making visits to members, preaching. And thank you for all the voluntary services, working for the church. And thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for protecting the church from the attacks of the enemy devil, attacks from the evil ones. And whatever you do, whatever you have done, with faith for the church, the senior pastor will give you thanks. Because each, we are his fruit. And And if we bear the good fruit in this situation, it is also a step toward building the grand sanctuary. And I pray in the name of the Lord that in this year 2019, we'll beautifully fulfill the duty to build the grand sanctuary, the glorious sanctuary. Let us be united as one. And let us pray more earnestly to build a grand sanctuary. And then as we build the glorious sanctuary, when the Lord comes back in the air, we will meet the Lord again in the air. Who is coming in the clouds, and we will be changed, and we will be caught up into the air. And until that happens, I hope we will be changed quickly. Let each of us become the sanctuary. And let us also pray for the actual physical building as well. I pray this in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous. and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.